Calling this special meeting to order at 3:04. The mission of the board is to protect the public by setting educational and training standards for licensure and by reviewing complaints made against osteopathic physicians, interns, and residents to ensure that their conduct meets the standards of the profession. This meeting will be held virtually. And would you like to go ahead with the call of order, Mr. Bohol?
Yes.
I will call Mr. Bohol. Ms. Pichelle?
Present.
Okay. Dr. Walker?
Here.
Dr. Shipbaum?
Here.
Dr. Matem?
Present.
You have a quorum, sir.
Thank you very much. So would you like to move on to item 3 next, Mr. Bohol?
Yes, please. 3A, and I'll have Ms. Castro present.
Perfect. Thank you.
Dr. Present.
Go ahead, Ms. Castro.
Dr. Pickering applied for a license in May of 2024. On the application, Dr. Pickering disclosed that he was placed on probation during his second year of residency with the McLeod Family Medicine Rural Residency Program due to a disagreement between himself and a preceptor regarding the division of work and work accountability. The program stated that Dr. Pickering failed to present application on 3 separate occasions and who received negative comments regarding his desire to learn. The program further noted concerns that Dr. Pickering refused to accept care of a patient admitted by the overnight attending. Dr. Pickering was first issued a formal letter of warning by the program. However, he was officially placed on probation September 7, 2022, and a remediation plan was put in place to assist with developing appropriate judgment regarding engagement in required learning activities, allow the program to monitor his work attendance, and allow the opportunity for trust to be reestablished between the program and Dr. Pickering. Dr. Pickering successfully completed his probation in February of 2023. On June 30th of 2024, Dr. Pickering successfully completed the 3-year residency program. He holds an active license with South Carolina and has no disciplinary action.
Thank you very much, Ms. Castro. And I'm sorry, Mr. Bohol, remind me, for the applicants, do I need to have the physician sworn in, or are we good to go?
You're good to go, no swearing in.
Perfect, thank you very much. And Dr. Pickering, would you like to tell us a little bit about these events that transpired here?
Yes, I can.
I'm sorry, I should start with welcome and thank you for taking the time to be with us. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Essentially, I think there were a couple of issues that she had mentioned that I think it was a little bit of a difficult transition for me from medical school to residency. There were a few disagreements, per se, with a couple of the attendings I had. And I do acknowledge there were a couple of times where I probably could have handled the situation a little bit better. For example, when she mentioned the refusing the admission from the overnight attending, I was raising patient safety concerns. The overnight attending was not in the hospital. There was not a physician in the hospital, and the patient was admitted from home. No one had done a physical exam. They're admitted to the ICU and put on an insulin drip. And I said, okay, hold on. Like, this is serious patient safety issue. And I acknowledge I probably should have handled it a little more professionally. And it was hard because I did residency in a small town. So, you know, you upset the wrong person and suddenly then it's can blow up into a bigger thing. And I did receive some negative feedback on one of the rotations I did during residency. It was an orthopedic surgery rotation. Me and the surgeon didn't really vibe well, but I felt like I showed up and I met the expectations I was supposed to, but I redid the 2 weeks of orthopedic surgery and everything went perfectly well. And I, you know, they put me on a disciplinary plan. I made sure I met with my advisor every month. I logged it, all the patients I was seeing, and I didn't have any further issues after the probation was done.
Fantastic. I appreciate it. And obviously a residency is a learning experience, and changing from medical school to residency and residency to practicing can certainly be a grinding of gears. So I get that. What have you been doing? You finished in 2023, correct?
I finished this year, this past summer.
Okay, gotcha. And what have you been doing since that time?
So since that time, I actually so I found this job at the end of residency. I did apply to pick up some urgent care shifts, and I didn't start doing that yet. But otherwise, I've just been kind of taking care of my family. I've been taking some time to see my grandmother, who's on hospice, and other family members, so I just haven't had time to see during residency.
Sure. But have you been practicing as a physician?
I have not yet, no.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'd like to open up to questions to the rest of the board.
Dr. Pickering, hi, this is Dr. Walker. Just wondering, what is your intention with your Arizona license?
So I've actually accepted a position with the Northern Arizona Hospitalist Group in Prescott.
Okay. So you'll be a daytime, nighttime hospitalist, or whatever they have available. What is the plan?
Primarily daytime, but it could also be if there's a need for some other shift.
Okay. And you have family here in Arizona?
I actually don't have family in Arizona. Most of my family's in Texas, but
Okay.
I visited Prescott for the job interview and it was beautiful. I fell in love with the area and the job opportunity was good, so I was all on board.
It'd be hard to refuse Prescott, that's for sure. All right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the board? So obviously, Dr. Pickering, our job as the Arizona Osteopathic Medical Board is to ensure safety for our patients and the public. So obviously, we have to take this seriously. So that being said, I'd like to make a motion to move to executive session for personal and confidential information and potentially legal advice.
I will second that motion, Dr.
Thank
Walker.
you. Any opposed? Thank you. Motion passes. If you'd like to do us the honors, Mr. Bohol.
And Dr. Pickering, you will receive an invitation to a breakout room. Please accept that invitation.
Good point. People should know that, Ms. Galvin. I appreciate it. Otherwise, we'll be lonely in there. Perfect. Any further questions for Dr. Pickering? If not, I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion. Oh, good, Dr.
Okay, thank you. I will make a motion to grant Dr. Pickering an unrestricted Arizona state license.
And I'll second that.
Perfect. I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion on that? Are there any opposed? All in favor, please indicate with an aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. And Mr. Goodman, I believe, recuses just for this one, but we'll put him to work for the rest. Thank you. Motion passes. We appreciate your time, Dr. Pickering. And again, we appreciate you dealing with us and allowing us to take this seriously. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it.
Of course. Would you like to move on, Mr. Bohol?
Yes, 3B. I believe the doctor is present, and I'll have Ms. Castro provide the summary.
Thank you.
Dr. Pendire applied for a license in August of 2024.
I lost you there, Ms. Castro.
Oh, apologies. I was getting the doctor on.
Thank you very much.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Ms. Castro is going to talk about your case for just a moment. We'll get back to you. Thank you very much for being here, doctor.
Thank you. On the application, Dr. Maya disclosed that she had been placed on academic probation at Rose Family Medical Residency Program. In February of 2000, Dr. Mendia was placed on probation due to concerns related to inadequate knowledge of basic pathophysiology, disorganized patient presentations, and an inability to develop an adequate differential diagnosis after patient encounters. Dr. Pendaya successfully completed probation in October of 2000. However, she was required to extend her third year of the residency program in order to do so. Staff has confirmed the probation during the family medicine program and her completion of that program. Dr. Pendaya held a license in Pennsylvania, which has expired, and holds a current license in Colorado with no disciplinary action.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much, Ms. Castro. I appreciate that. And I'm sorry, ma'am, do you go by Dr. Alter Pendaya or just Dr. Pendaya?
I do go by Dr. Alter Pendaya.
Pendaya, sorry. Thank you. I'm just trying not to. Yeah, perfect. I don't like to mutilate names. I try really hard.
No, it's fine. Not
great anyway. Thank you, Dr. Alter Pendia. Thank you very much for being here. Could you tell us a little bit about what happened in, I think it was the year 2000?
Yes. So I'm just going to back up a little bit with the story. When I graduated medical school, I went to the required rotating internship. And then that turned over into a family residency. And that program, so during internship, I was starting to realize that I wasn't quite coming up with some of the things that my fellow medical student residents, internship people didn't have. I didn't have always the right answer in my head. And so I was thinking, we'll just keep an eye on this. And things went fine. And then it rolled over into the residency, and I had gone to a couple of my professors and said, I'm missing some stuff here. And they said, well, just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing great. Patients love you. Well, let's just kind of see how it goes. And I said, okay, that's fine. And then, so we kept going and kept going. That program was closed that summer of 1998. And so I totally acknowledge the fact that I was missing some stuff. But I also wanted to say there was a lot of stress going on, not knowing if this residency was going to be completed or if I was going to have to find a new residency home, so to speak. And I was married, and I was like, oh my gosh, am I going to have to go away and from my husband and everything like that. So anyway, it turned out that I was very fortunate to get a spot with the University of Colorado in Denver, so I could stay. And then while I was there, I even felt it a little more. I don't know if it was it was definitely me, but it was an accumulation of all these things. And so it was brought to my attention. It was 20 years later, 25 years later, and it still makes me feel bad that had to happen. You know what I mean? But sure. Anyway, we made a plan. I had an advisor. I had a mentor. Every month, I chose a different thing to dig deep into, like asthma or heart disease. And then I had to do presentations. I also went to a psychiatrist during that time because it was so devastating. And but in the end, it was a good thing because I learned so much more. I passed all my boards. I was always worried about passing boards, feeling that way. And I was successful. I completed all the things I needed to, and I haven't looked back. I think it was a great thing that happened to me. I can say that now, but moving forward in all the years that I have practiced now, it has served me so well. And I guess that's it. I mean, it kind of brings it all back up again.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yes, go ahead.
I wouldn't be the doctor I am today without what had happened. And so in some ways, I mean, I guess I can't be anything but glad it happened when it did, when I was in a very safe place.
Mm, good. Again, that's what a training program is for, of course. So what year did you finish your residency program?
October of 2000.
October of 2000.
I had to do an extra year because.
Sure. Oh, no, that's perfect. That's answered my question.
Extra year because. Yeah, okay.
You're good. I'm so sorry. And you've been practicing Colorado the whole time?
No.
No, you're good. And if I understand correctly, there have been no problems with your practice in Colorado for the last 24 years. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
And continue to study and learn. Yes, that's good. Any other questions from the board?
Just one question. Dr. Adelbeth, I'm going to mess up your name. Tell me. Dr.
That's what everybody called me, Dr. Amy.
Sorry. I apologize. And then so it sounds like you've been practicing, like you said, for about 24 years. What's bringing you to Arizona?
My husband took ASU, and we moved to Phoenix in June.
Oh, that's fantastic. Great. Any other questions from the board?
No question here, just a comment. And doctor, thank you for catching us up. And to the rest of the board, my sincerest apologies for showing up late. Thank you to our good director for reaching out to me directly. As someone who, I struggled in school a lot, and I did, for a long time, did very poorly, and turned it around and made the best of it, and it's all worked out well for me now. But I appreciate that kind of story, and I appreciate people who continue on after having some hardships or, pivoting or whatever it needs to be done. So I commend you for doing that and sticking with it.
That's awesome. I'm just sad we don't have medical students to listen to that online today. Any other questions from the board? If not, I'll take a motion.
I'll make a motion. I'd like to make a motion to grant an unrestricted license.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second the motion.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Are there any opposed? All in favor, please indicate with an aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Motion passes. And I'll try one more time. Dr. Alter Pandia, welcome to Arizona. Did I say that close?
That was really close. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you for your time. You have a good day.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Would you like to move ahead, Mr. Bohol?
Yes, I believe Dr. Boder is present and Ms. Castro will provide the summary.
Thank you, Ms. Castro. Go ahead.
Is it Dr. Bober or Dr. Bobber?
Bober.
Bober, thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
Dr. Bober has applied for licensure in February of 2024. Dr. Bober holds an active license in New York and is AOA board certified in emergency medicine. Dr. Bober failed to properly disclose three malpractice cases on his application for licensure. Staff was made aware of a pending malpractice that occurred in September of 2020, a second pending malpractice case that occurred in March of 2019, and a malpractice settlement in the amount of $1.3 million dated February of 23. Dr. Bober has only held a license in New York and he has no disciplinary action.
Perfect. Thank you. So, Ms. Castro, do you know if these were reported to the New York board?
We do know that the New York board has the MPDB reports, but they do not verify with us if they reviewed it or not, because no action was taken.
Very good. Dr. Bober, I'm sorry, am I saying that correctly?
Are you saying it correctly?
Oh, good. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So, again, obviously, we have to, as the board, protect the public. So there's always a red flag, number one, when there's multiple malpractice cases or a case of significance. That's the wrong way of saying it. If it's a significant settlement, it has to raise a higher level of concern or interest. And of course, if there have been multiple cases reported. How long have you been practicing now?
For 10 years. I'm out of residency 10 years and 4 years residency.
Perfect.
So 14 together.
10 years in New York, correct, plus residency?
Correct.
Got it.
Perfect. Correct.
And can you tell us a little bit about what happened with these with this cluster of malpractice cases?
So there were a couple of different cases. On the application itself, this wasn't like me trying to hide cases. It was initially I was applying for applications. I'm actually applying for many different states as myself and a couple of my partners. We started a telehealth company. So we're applying to many different states. And in the cluster of paperwork, honestly, I must have just answered a question wrong. Obviously, all these cases are public knowledge. There's no hiding it. They're all different cases. A couple of them are still pending. I was dismissed off of one already, and one was a settlement. I'm not sure if you want to go like individually over these cases. I'm happy to talk about it.
Would you please? That would be helpful.
Okay. So I'll start with the biggest one, I guess, the one that was settled. It was a youngish male, I would say, came into the emergency department where I was working. Came in with generalized symptoms of body aches, fatigue. He stated that he went to an outside hospital, actually a hospital maybe 3 miles down the road, was diagnosed with influenza, was sent home with ibuprofen, told to take fluids, and he came back to us saying that he wasn't feeling much better. We did some basic blood work on the gentleman. I've had him maybe in the ER for about 2 hours. He had a slight white count. He was a little tachycardic, febrile. We chose to keep him in our observation unit for continuing monitoring and reassessments. About 2 hours into the case, I was off the case. He was in the observation department. And later that night, his vital signs became more unstable. He became septic, essentially. He was then transitioned from the observation unit to the admission team, and he suffered a cardiac arrest. He was resuscitated, but obviously had damages. So that's essentially the case.
So just a couple quick questions. So he was seen elsewhere. You saw him, he met criteria for observation, but did not seem that unstable at the time and put him on telemetry or med-surg observation, or do you remember?
So in that hospital, there was just one unit. All our observation units have telemetry on it.
Okay. So he did not meet
every bed
criteria. He met observation criteria, and you saw fit not to send him home, which sounds like it was a good idea. Do you have any idea what the, I assume it was sepsis and he just deteriorated. Did you find anything specific in the litigation?
I reviewed the case, the parts of the file that I kind of participated in. I didn't review anything further.
Yeah, of course.
Kind of the advice from the attorneys. And then they chose to settle.
That's fine. It sounds like a reasonable emergency room decision not to send a patient home and to place him in observation. It sounds like that they met that criteria, not ICU. Does anybody else have any other questions about that case?
No.
Thank you. Would you mind moving on to the next case, Dr. Bober?
Sure. The next one that I remember was a fast track case, essentially. A woman came in with shoulder pain. She tripped and fell in a supermarket. She diagnosed it with a proximal humerus fracture. I was lucky enough that there was an orthopedic surgeon sitting next to me. He consulted on the case. Patient went home with a sling and failed to follow up with that orthopedic surgeon. Later, I was sued for pain and suffering because she wanted surgery, and I guess she never followed up. She followed up a month later with a different surgical group, and I guess seek treatment there. After my deposition, which took approximately 6 minutes, I was just dropped off the case. I mean, it was kind of simple and straightforward.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable. Were there any other significant comorbid conditions or any other reason you would have thought to hospitalize that patient?
No, it was a mechanical trip and fall with really no other injuries.
No, I agree. And I'm sorry, Dr. Bober, I'm an emergency medicine doctor of 25 years, so I think we can get through this fast. Can you tell me about the last case?
And the last one is she's mid-30s female, came in with poor dentition and dental pain. She was seen in our fast track area of the emergency department, initially seen by one of the PAs. I was in on the case as well. We evaluated her. She had some swelling around the mouth. And she tried Motrin at home, she stated, but had no access to be seen by a dentist. We at that hospital don't have dental coverage. We chose to do some blood work and a CAT scan. Blood work was really unremarkable because of the poor dentition, and she was a high-risk patient due to IV drug abuse. Mm-hmm. We did a CAT scan, which showed some mouth swelling. Again, chose to keep the patient in the hospital because we wanted to get an ENT consult. Patient received a couple doses of IV antibiotics and was moved over to the observation unit. About 24 hours later, I was no longer on the case, obviously. Patient was discharged home and then presented to a different hospital 4 to 5 days later. Her infection has progressed and went into the lower neck. She was diagnosed with Ludwig's angina. So she underwent surgery and recovered after that. So I'm named on that case. That case has not resulted. We're taking that case to trial. I think I'm going to win that case, hopefully.
So on your evaluation, the patient had no visible neck edema, no voice changes, no drool, no stridor?
No trismus. Her vital signs have actually improved before we put her into. She was mildly tachycardic at first, and then she improved. There were multiple notes in the record how during the observation unit, even her pain has improved and she was doing better. So she was asked to follow up as an outpatient and give an antibiotic to take at home. And at some point within the next week later, she obviously, her status has worsened significantly. But during my observation, there was really not much more, at least.
And your
no floor of the mouth elevation. I'm sorry.
No problem. Your CT, I assume, was facial but captured oral pharynx. Would that be accurate?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. They commented on swollen lymph nodes in the neck, but no phlegma, no abscess on the CT.
Perfect. That's what I want to hear. That sounds like an unfortunate advancement of disease. And I apologize. I did not ask the rest of the board if they had any questions on case number two or at this point, case number three. Certainly, like I was saying before, we have to take a cluster of cases very seriously, dropped or not. That being said, 10 years of practice is still very good for not having cases before that. So although I think it's interesting, there are three cases in a tight time frame. I'd like to make a motion to grant an unrestricted license in Arizona. Do I have a second or are there other concerns? Oh, golly days, I'm sorry. I'm going to withdraw my motion. I'm so sorry. Does anybody else have any questions for Dr. Bober? I'm sorry for being super efficient. My apologies. Well, if no other questions, I'd like to make a motion to grant an unrestricted license.
I will second, Dr. Walker.
Thank you, Dr. Walker. Any further discussion? Any opposed? All in favor, please indicate with an aye.
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 Thank you very much, Doctor. I appreciate your telehealth idea. Sounds interesting yet boring. You, good luck to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Back to you, Mr. Bohol.
Yes, we'll move on to 3D, Jason Chang. I believe Dr. Chang is present, and Ms. Castro will provide the summary.
Thank you, Ms. Castro. Again, we're working you hard today. Go ahead.
Okay. Dr. Chang has applied for a licensure. On the application, Dr. Chang disclosed that he was placed on a process improvement plan during his emergency medicine residency program at ProMedica Monroe Regional Hospital. Due to interpersonal conflicts with staff at the hospital emergency department, Dr. Chang further disclosed that he voluntarily resigned from the program due to the program's malignant environment and culture. The program director and chief of staff, Dr. Reinhold, stated that Dr. Chang was not on an academic plan, but was placed on disciplinary probation. He further stated Dr. Chang elected to go to one of the rotating sites while he was not on a rotation there to visit a resident. While visiting, an attending at the site asked him to place an arterial line, which he did. This was reported to the program and resulted in the disciplinary action. In January of 2017, the program notified Dr. Chang of his probation. Dr. Chang completed his probationary period and resigned from the program on February 1st of 2018. Dr. Chang participated in the emergency medicine residency program at ProMedica from July of 2015 through February of 2018. Following his resignation from the program, he completed an emergency medicine residency at Garden City Hospital from July of 21 to June of 24. Dr. Chang holds active licenses in Michigan and Ohio and has no other disciplinary action.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Ms. Lindsay. And welcome, Dr. Chang. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. Yeah, afternoon. Would you like to tell us a little bit about what happened?
Yes. Can you guys all hear me?
Yes, perfectly. Go ahead. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. So that was an honest mistake. And I remember it more now that I was just trying to gain more experience at the time. I was a young resident and wanted to learn more procedures. I had a pretty good relationship with the attendings at this ICU, and I was interested in critical care. And my colleague was working at the time in the ICU. I figured I'd go and see if I can learn some more procedures to do. I honestly didn't know that since I wasn't on the rotation at that time, and that I wasn't supposed to be there. So it was just an honest mistake on my part. That, yeah.
That's perfect. And how long have you been practicing for now?
So, so while I was at my first program, I started moonlighting and continued to do so for until 2021, and continued while I was doing my second emergency medicine program. So let's say about 6 years now.
And you finished your residency in June of this year, is that correct?
Yeah, so I just finished in June. I had a great time in my second program and became chief resident as well.
I heard, that's fantastic. And are you practicing medicine now?
So not at the moment. I actually moved to Phoenix back in August, but just haven't been able to practice. So I've just been enjoying the wonderful weather and hiking every day.
It is nice. That's good. Try not to give all that up. I'm going to make a motion shortly to move to executive session, but I'd like to make sure anybody else on the board has a chance to ask questions. If there are any other questions for Dr. Chang in open form.
And just Dr. Chang, do you have any jobs you're considering in Arizona while you moved to Arizona?
So I already accepted a full-time emergency medicine physician at Banner University Medical Center. So I've just been waiting on my license in order to start.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for Dr. Chang? I'd like to make a motion to move to executive session for personal and confidential and potential legal advice.
I'll second that.
Thank you. We'll give that to Mr. Goodman. He wanted it. Any opposed? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
So Dr. Chang, you will receive an invitation for breakout room. Please accept that. That's fantastic. Thank you very much.
Does anybody else have any questions for Dr. Chang? If not, I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion, Dr. Chang. Just make a motion to grant an unrestricted license.
Thank you.
I'll second, Dr. Walker.
Thank you, Dr. Walker. Any further discussion? Are there any opposed? All in favor, please indicate with an aye. An aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Was that everybody, Mr. Bohol?
I believe we have Dr. Greenhall left.
No, I'm sorry. Was that everybody voted? I apologize.
Oh, yes. Yes. Thank you.
I don't want to leave Dr. Chang hanging. Welcome to Arizona, Dr. Chang. I'm sorry, we're going to take away from your hiking time by working as a physician. So please get out there during the winter anyway. You have a good day and get to work, for goodness sakes. Take care. Go ahead, Mr. Bohol. Thank you.
Yes, well, Dr. Greenhall, I believe, is present, and Ms. Castro will provide the summary.
Great.
Okay. Dr. Greenhall has applied for licensure. Dr. Greenhall previously held a postgraduate training permit issued by the board from July of 2021 to June of 2024. During the processing of his application for full licensure, staff became aware that Dr. Greenhall failed to disclose that he had been arrested for violating the conditions of bail or bond, and as a result of a previous citation for possession of THC and drug paraphernalia. Dr. Greenhall stated he believed he was not required to disclose, as the charge was eventually dismissed. Dr. Greenhall further stated that he disclosed the arrest on his initial application and was told he was not required to disclose it again. Staff notes that Dr. Greenhall did not disclose any arrests on his postgraduate training permit application or any of the renewal applications submitted to the board. Board staff received arresting records and court documentation confirming the incidents and charges, and also confirmed that the charge for violating bail was dismissed. Staff notes that Dr. Greenhall graduated from Midwestern University in 2021 and is required by their program to attend a board meeting prior to graduation.
Well, I don't think this counts as that board meeting.
No. I did that in med school. I was hoping to never have to be here, but
okay.
Here we are.
Could you please tell us a little bit about these events, Dr. Greenhall?
Definitely, and thank you guys so much for letting me come and explain my actions and for having me here. So 14 years ago, I made a really bad decision and smoked marijuana in my dorm room and was arrested for that, and ended up going to court for that and agreed to do a deal where I was going to do community service to, you know, have the charges dropped. That following weekend, I didn't believe I was still on bail, but again, made another dumb decision and drank alcohol underage. And at that point, the police came to my dorm room and had me do a breathalyzer and informed me at that point that I was still under bail. And I really had no idea that I was still under bail. And actually, that's the real reason that the case was dropped, was that the court actually had found that they had never informed me that I was still going to be on bail. And that there was a form I was supposed to sign, et cetera, that was never done. So fast forward to my application for residency. When filling out the application initially, I actually did check yes on the box. And when I sent it back to my program director, she said, hey, you need to give me more information. Please, you know, send me documents, write a statement, et cetera. And in my investigation of getting all those documents, I then remembered, wait a second, this was all dropped. And I turned to her and said, hey, this was all dropped. And she was like, okay. And I checked no and submitted it. So when this time around, when I filled out the form, I again kind of paused at that box and remembered, wait, last time I, you know, put myself through, you know, all of this drama, and in the end, I didn't need to do it. And so when I received the notification from Irma Dominic that I had, in fact, needed to disclose that, I really was just shocked and thought at the time that, no, I actually had disclosed with the board. But I think in a later email with her, I, you know, and with my statement, I did say that, you know, I actually definitely never sent it to the board, never disclosed it. And it had just been with my program. And I unfortunately made the mistake of selecting no. Since then, I've been in good standing with all of my academic programs. I've graduated residency at Phoenix Children's, and I'm currently in a GI fellowship at Phoenix Children's as well.
Ms. Castro, can I put you on the spot just to read just for the public record the question that we're talking about, if you would be so kind? Sorry to put you on the spot. Thank you. While Ms. Castro is looking for that, any other questions from the board? No problem. Ms. Castro will bring that up when she gets to it. I did not forewarn you. I apologize, Ms. Castro.
And Dr. Matem, I've got it in front of me if you'd like me to read it.
I say it's question one, I believe.
From the lawyer? Go ahead, Mr. Goodman. That's great. Thank you.
Have you ever been arrested for, charged with, or convicted of any felony or any misdemeanor?
Thank you. I appreciate it. So obviously, the wording is very important, and there's a lot of confusion from individuals, which is why we changed it to have you ever been arrested for, et cetera. So it's not a question if it was dismissed. It's not a question if it was, I'm forgetting the term when the document's sealed, but I'm sure the two lawyers.
Expunged, perhaps.
Expunged, yes. You know, for almost 10 years, I've been trying to get you to teach me to sound cool, Ms. Galvin. It's still not working. Thank you. So it's a question of, have you ever been arrested? So obviously that always creates a problem because it's something where if we can't count on somebody filling out paperwork correctly, and we're trying to keep these licensure applications as succinct and reasonable, as clear as we possibly can, not to read like one of those awful legal documents that Ms. Galvin and Mr. Goodman write all the time. So it's understandable to us as physicians. So it's something we take seriously. It's something where we have to be able to count on honesty, and it's very difficult to differentiate a breach in honesty from a misinterpretation. I've misinterpreted questions before on this type of licensure, so I get it, but it makes it difficult for us to tell. That's why this becomes such an important thing for us to review and to consider, which is why we have to take this time today.
Understood.
I'm sorry for the soapbox. Any other questions or concerns from the board? I would like to make a motion to move to executive session for personal and confidential questions and potential legal advice.
I will second, Dr. Walker.
Thank you, Dr. Walker. Any opposed? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Dr. Greenhall and Mr. Tam, you should receive notification to join the breakout room.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bohol. Dr. Greenhall, I do have to express concerns of three applications that were filled out that did not check yes for this potential event. I understand that the primary consideration was on the first one, where it sounds like you brought it up and made the decision not to check the box based on information you found seeming inappropriate. And I definitely, were I you in residency, probably would have thought on the renewal not to do anything on the second application either. But it does cause me great pain that when you filled out for your full licensure and read those questions again, that you did not think into that more deeply and appropriately discuss that. Mainly that if you have a question about a concern, the best people to ask are either your lawyer, who you're already paying for to be sitting with you right now, virtually granted, or obviously contacting the board themselves. It's easy to get confused and not to know what to do with something that's expunged, has been dismissed. I know that can be confusing, but as Mr. Goodman pointed out, there's fairly clear language sitting there. That being said, I understand that this can be confusing and can also be an accident. Are there any further questions from the board? If not, I would entertain a motion. I'd love a motion from Mr. Goodman. Would you be comfortable giving a motion on this, Mr. Goodman?
Yeah, I'm comfortable giving I move to grant unrestricted access, a license with unrestricted access.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll second, Dr. Chapin.
I appreciate that, Mr. Goodman and Dr. Chapin. Any further discussion? Any opposed? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you all for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Bohol?
Yes. Moving on to section four, this is a proposed consent agreement. This is Brian McColgan. On October 15th, 20...
Mr. Bohol, would you mind? We have enough board members in place, do we, for me to recuse myself from this?
Yes.
I feel like I could be unbiased, but it would certainly not look right since he's a coworker of mine. So if you don't mind recusing me, I'd appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. Hold on just one moment.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Besides, my computer's out of batteries.
You'll have an opportunity to go get a charger then.
That's what I'm doing.
All right. You should receive notification to go to the breakout room.
Thank you, God. I appreciate that.
If Dr. Matem is recused and no longer in the main session, I will resume the summary. On October 15th, 2012, the respondent and the board entered into a stipulated confidential rehabilitation agreement for 5 years. The confidential agreement was, sorry.
Okay, no, go ahead.
Yep. Confidential agreement was terminated November 2nd, 2017. The board received a complaint from respondent's employer on September 10th, 2024. The complaint alleges that respondent was terminated from employment following an investigation where respondent was found to be impaired while on shift in the emergency department. Respondent completed an inpatient residential program at Pinnacle Peak Recovery from September 9th, 2024 to October 5th, 2024. Respondent completed a substance abuse evaluation with the board-approved evaluator. The full report was provided to the board on November 19th, 2024. The agreement has been signed by Dr. McColgan. It places a stayed revocation in place, restricts his license to require to be observed, provides an outline of how he can practice in a licensed hospital setting, as well as practice outside of a hospital facility. Requires participation in monitoring and is for 7 years, as well as the other standard terms for a monitoring agreement. So staff recommends approval of the agreement. As I said, Dr. McColgan has already signed the agreement, and this would resolve the case before the board. And I'm available for any questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Justin. So this would be, and I apologize, the actual agreement wasn't posted until today, so I was just reviewing that. Has everyone had a chance to review that, or is there anything else that anyone would like to discuss in executive session, or? No.
I don't think so.
From what I was able to review and what Justin said, I agree. I think I'd like to make a motion to accept the agreement.
Okay. I will second, Dr. Walker.
Thank you, Dr. Walker. Any opposed?
We do need a roll call. Okay. This is just the putter.
Okay.
This is Michelle. Yes, thank you. Okay, Dr. Walker.
Yes.
Mr. Goodman.
Aye.
Dr. Chabon.
Yes.
And Dr. Maynham is recused. The motion carries. Okay. We will approve that and get that taken care of. I will bring Dr. Maynham back to main session. Thank you, Dr. Maynham. We have completed that case. We can move on to item number 5.
Perfect. Go ahead. Thank you very much for that.
Item 5A is introduction of new board members. I know we're at the end of the day, but we have our new board member, Ms. Pamela Vachelle. She's our new public member, replacing Mr. Berg. But I'll turn it over if the board has any questions or wants to discuss that.
I would just like you to introduce yourself, if you don't mind, Ms. Vachelle. I heard a bunch about you, and you sound amazing, and we're very happy to have you. But would you like to say a little bit about yourself? And please don't hold back.
Well, let's see. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for your continued patience as I jump back into this. I do promise to read the laws more thoroughly and ask Justin a million questions. I am an Arizona native. Retired from the state of Arizona after 24 years, working mostly with boards and commissions. And in my spare time, I like hiking, although I've never made it 11 miles. And traveling, spending time with my grandchildren, and quilting.
Wow. So were you in withdrawal from the state, or why did you have to come back to a board?
Someone asked me shortly after I retired how long it took me to get used to being retired, and I said about 7 minutes.
Wow.
I spent enough years with boards and commissions to know that finding public members is not an easy thing to do, and it, to me, is a way to give back to the community with a way that I understand, a process that I understand and feel as if I can help.
That's amazing. Well, we really appreciate you being here. Thank you. And thanks for introducing
Thank
yourself.
You.
Of course.
Welcome.
Welcome to Bhutan.
Item 5B is the annual review of the board's executive director. I was able to add at the start of the meeting, I sent out that survey, and we got a couple responses, so you're able to review that. If you'd like to motion to go into executive session and discuss my performance, you're able to do that.
I would like to make a motion to move to executive session for discussion of performance of the executive director.
Okay. I second that.
And do you want me to join or would you like to have a conversation first?
I would like to have a conversation first and then for you to join, I think would be perfectly appropriate.
Okay. You should receive notification now. Okay, you do have a quorum, sir.
There we go, that'll work better. Would you like to move on to item C?
Item C, election of officers. So you can do make a motion, a second, and do place votes.
That's absolutely perfect. Have I been doing this for a year already?
That's yes, correct.
Only a year. So you're not even well seasoned yet. You know?
No, I'm not. It's amazing.
Which is why I want to make the motion for Dr. Meadham to be president.
I second that.
Oh, crap. Can I do that? I'm only here for 5 or 6 more months.
Yep, you can continue, sir.
Okay. just to be clear, so it's really important to me for this board to learn and to advance and to be comfortable with multiple roles. So I don't want to take that away from anybody. If there's nobody who strongly wants to be elected, then I would accept that. Okay, I'll accept that.
Okay.
All right. Any further discussion? And besides myself, any opposed? I'm not really opposed. Don't write that down, Ms. Galvin. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I really appreciate it. Thank you guys for putting up with me. It's not my normal thing doing this, so I've learned a lot doing it so far. I appreciate that. I'm more of a background information kind of guy. So thanks for putting me on the spot, Mr. Goodman.
Well, great job. And speaking of people doing a great job in their roles currently serving, I'd like to move to retain Dr. Chapon as vice president because she is also doing a great job in coming along and learning the ropes and probably well suited for the next roll up after this. That's on the table.
And I would agree, and so I will second that motion.
So just for further discussion, as far as time frame for our roles, and I'm sorry, I know I've had this discussion before, but I forget, but how much longer are Dr. Chapon, Dr. Walker, and Mr. Goodman on the board for until renewal or non-renewal, renewal, whatever?
I believe Dr. Chapon and Dr. Walker, you are terms expire April of 2026. But I believe that you're both eligible for another term. So you
awesome.
And then Mr. Goodman, I believe you are up in 2027.
Okay, great. The reason I asked that is I'd like Dr. Walker and Mr. Goodman to fulfill those roles at some point. And I'm going to lose control of this before that happens. I might just show up to an in-person meeting to try to encourage people and maybe get a duck and decanter sandwich out of it, though. All right. So I'm sorry, we had a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Thank you. Any opposed? All in favor?
Aye.
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 I really appreciate the work you've been doing, Dr. Chapon, and thank you very much to the rest of the board. I appreciate you giving me, I don't know how many more months of doing this. I'm not sure.
Thank you. And I'm Mr. Goodman the whole year. We're not, no doctors, just Mr. We got it. I got that down.
Got it down.
Thank you.
Everybody messes that up. All right. Do we have anything else on the agenda today, Mr. Goodman? Mr. Goodman, Mr. Bohol. Maybe mess it up. I've been doing great all day.
That takes care of everything. So just adjournment.
All right. Is there a motion to adjourn? Nobody's got me that gavel yet. I'll make a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Seeing no further discussion, any opposed? All in favor? Thank you, everybody else, for taking this time for this meeting and getting this done in efficient for what this was, getting through all those cases we had to do. So I appreciate it.